Jesus. We thank you that you are the center of our life. You are the fire in our souls. We thank you for sending the fire, the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that his presence is now with us always. Thank you for Pentecost. Thank you, Father, for letting Jesus send the promise, your promise of the Holy Spirit to us. You are so awesome, Holy Spirit. You do live and dwell in us now. And we live and dwell in you. We thank you that you're here with us, Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us, teaching us. We declare that Word of Victory Church is a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church, always in the center of God's perfect will. Couldn't do it without you, Holy Spirit. Father and Jesus knew that. We thank you that that's a major, the main part of the new covenant. Now the Spirit of God has taken up residence to live in. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? And just like in the Old Testament, there was the pillar of fire. Now we have that fire in us. And the wind and the smoke and the glory now lives in us. And we get to use that and take that everywhere with us, in our homes, in our church, in our lives, in our workplaces. And we want to be able to use the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's ever a time and a day when we needed the Holy Spirit to be stronger in our lives, it's the time that we're living in right now. Hallelujah. So, Father, we're taking this time to go through the book of Acts, to look at the highlights, Holy Spirit highlights. Holy Spirit, how you moved in the your people in the first church, and the men and women of God that were Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, and how you operated. What were the principles that you used? What were the words they preached? Because we want to follow that pattern. We want to be just like them, if not even greater than them, to do greater things than they did for the purpose of glorifying our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's worthy of all honor, all power, all wisdom, all glory, everything. And he's worthy of souls, a great, great harvest of souls. So we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for leaving us this blueprint and this pattern of how the church is to operate, to truly be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and power-packed and prayer-saturated, rapidly grow and always be in your will. So Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Teach us about yourself as we study more in the book of Acts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been going through the book of Acts. We're up to Acts chapter 4 right now. We saw the most incredible highlight that there is, which what I just prayed about, when Jesus poured out the promise of the Father, when the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in the church. Who is the church? Not a building. We are the church. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit now lives and dwells in each and every one of us. That is so amazing. I think sometimes we hear it, it's easy for us to just take it for granted and just act like, oh, that's just, but the more we focus on the Holy Spirit, the more we concentrate on that and meditate on that, the more powerful it becomes to us. So we saw that in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the main gift was prophecy. First, they prophesied in other tongues to all the people that were in Jerusalem, all the Jews that were in Jerusalem for Pentecost. Many of them got saved. Then Peter preaches his first sermon. Peter and the disciples standing up now, transformed. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit, because they had received the promise of the Father. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father that you'll receive power from on high so you can be my witnesses. So now Peter, those who had been cowering and hiding out and from the Jews, the Jewish leaders, and from the Roman authorities during the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are now in the forefront. And Jesus doesn't send them off to a far-off place where no one would remember them. They start their ministry where? Right in Jerusalem, right where Jesus, right where everything took place, so that he could minister, because he always said it's to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Everything that Jesus said would happen has happened. In the book of Mark, when he said that those who believe in me will speak in other tongues, they will cast out demons, they will heal the sick, they will take up serpents, or they will drink anything poisonous and it won't hurt. Every word Jesus gave was a prophetic word, and you can see all those words as you're reading through the book of Acts. You can see every single one of those prophetic words fulfilled, and we'll see some of those fulfilled today as they heal people, as they cast out demons, as they preach the gospel again, and more people are saved. So let's get into it. We're up to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verses 21 through 23 today. And as we read through the book of Acts, remember the purpose that to do it is to try to put ourselves, you know, when you read through the book of Acts, try to put ourselves right in the place of those first church members so we can identify with them as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, experience the thrill of seeing thousands respond to the gospel message, sense their commitment as they give every ounce of talent and treasure to Jesus Christ. As we read and watch the Spirit-led boldness of these first-century believers, who through suffering in the face and even in the face of death take every opportunity to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone in Jerusalem. And as we observe what the Holy Spirit's doing through these men and women of God in the first-century church, we can gauge ourselves, gauge Word of Victory Church, and estimate how close are. Does Word of Victory Church come to being a 21st century version of the church in the book of Acts? Because that's what we want to be. Amen? So we're up to, like I said, Acts 4:21. Peter and John had been arrested. They had been doing great signs and wonders and miracles. And guess what? The leaders did not like that. So they had arrested them. They had taken them in. And they said, look, you cannot preach in Jesus' name anymore. You can do anything you want, but don't you preach the resurrection. Don't you preach the gospel. Don't you preach in Jesus' name anymore. And they threatened them more and more. And we'll pick that up in verse 21 right now. So when the leaders, this is the state. This is the government now of that day coming against them, telling them that they have to shut their mouths and they can't preach anymore, which again correlates and is very similar to what we are going through now in our day. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. I love this little detail that Luke adds. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Remember, we're talking about the man at the gate beautiful who had been there all of his life when Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that man was healed instantly. Quick little side note to think about. Jesus walked by that man for years and didn't heal him. Just kind of think about that. But now Peter, the apostles had the opportunity. They saw, they probably even maybe even asked Jesus, why aren't you healing him? Why don't you heal him? Because God had a different plan. God knew that he was going to save it for them when they had received the Holy Spirit. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So important to have a fellowship. So important to have a body of believers, a church, like Word of Victory Church, a family that you can go back to. That is so important to have. And that's exactly what they did here. Verse 24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. because that's what actually happened. When Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the other nations and the other government officials and all the people of Israel all came together against Jesus here in Jerusalem and all the Gentiles, they continued praying, "He is your holy servant, the one that you made to be the Messiah." These people who came together against Jesus made your plan happen. This was all predestined by God, Peter is saying. It was done because of your power and because of your will. It was the plan of God for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to die on that cross so we could have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. There was no other way for our sins to be forgiven. Notice that when they start praying, they're not praying out of fear because they're not going to ask God to protect them. What are they going to ask God for? Boldness. Our greatest weapon that we have, one of the greatest weapons that God has given us, is prayer, the power of prayer. To be able to petition the very courts of heaven, the highest courts in all the world, we can go to and bring our petitions before Him against those who would try to assault us or come against us, especially in the government. Verse 29. This is what they prayed. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Just want to reiterate again something that the Holy Spirit has really been speaking to me and sharing with me about what Jesus said, that you will receive power from on high so that you will be my witnesses. The primary gift of the Holy Spirit, the primary empowering gift of the Holy Spirit, is to enable every single believer to be able to communicate the gospel, to be able to prophesy the gospel and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody in their sphere of influence. Yes, there's healings, there's miracles, but the primary gift is to prophesy. It's even in when Peter quoted Joel, he said what? "You will all prophesy. Your young men, the handmaidens, everybody will prophesy." And I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, Moses said he wished that everybody would be able to what? That all your people were prophets and they could prophesy. The main gift is for us to be able, it's a speaking gift. The main empowerment is for us to speak. That's why you see constantly over again in all these, every single one of these chapters that we're looking at, chapters 4 and 5, you'll see the state and the government constantly trying to tell them what? Do whatever you want, but shut up. Don't speak. Don't, especially the gospel. Why? Because that is the power of God unto salvation. That's the power of God, Paul said. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it alone is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And how can they believe if they don't hear someone speak it? "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power," listen to this, "and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Prayer, a prayer meeting. When they got together, they weren't praying for to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. They simply prayed, "Help us to do exactly what Jesus told us to do, so we can be obedient and do exactly what he told us to do, to go and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name." Amen? And that's what they did. "And great grace was upon them all, and God answered that prayer." So let's go to chapter 5. Now, most people, you probably wouldn't think of this as a highlight, a Holy Spirit highlight, but really it is. Ananias and Sapphira. Doesn't sound like a Holy Spirit highlight, does it? But it is. Because And everybody, we all know what happened, that Ananias and Sapphira were husband and wife. And they come and they, people, everybody had been, some people had been selling their property and giving it to the apostles so that everybody could be taken care of. Well, Ananias and Sapphira decided they were going to sell their property and then come and tell the apostles that this is, we're going to give you every, we're giving you everything that we got. But they lied. It wasn't everything. They had held some of it back. And the purpose of this is that the Holy Spirit just wanted to kind of, right in the beginning of the church, nip this in the bud. He didn't want lying. He didn't want hypocrisy in the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who ends up taking this power and authority. And it's, remember, it still is kind of like the Old Testament. Remember the temple? When the priests that came in and they gave sacrifices of strange fire, or they did things that they weren't supposed to do, what happened to them? They died. So now the Holy Spirit's saying, look, the church now is the temple of God. My glory resides there, and this is not going to happen. Do not mess with the Holy Spirit. And basically that's what Peter tells Ananias. He says, why did you let Satan fill your mind with such an idea? You kept part of the money for yourself, and you lied about it to who? To the Holy Spirit, Peter tells him. And then we know it goes on. It says, before you sold the field, it belonged to you, right? And even after you sold it, you could have used the money any way you wanted. How could you even think of doing such a thing? You lied to God, not to us. What is this? What is Peter using? He's still using a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of knowledge. How else would he know this? It's the Holy Spirit working through him. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Some young men came and wrapped his body. They carried it out and buried it. And everyone who heard about this was filled with fear, the fear of the Lord. Same thing happens to his wife, verses 10 and 11. At that moment, she came in, she lied to him, and then it says in verses 10 and 11, when she lied at that moment, Sapphira fell down by his feet and died. The young men came in, saw that she was dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And it says the whole church and all the other people who heard about this were filled with fear. So God was using this as a time to show that, in my words, you don't mess with the Holy Spirit. You don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's go on. Verses 12 through 16. The apostles were given the power to do many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They were together in Solomon's porch, and they all had the same purpose. That's a constant theme and a constant pattern that you constantly hear in the book of Acts 2. They were all in one heart, one mind, one accord. They all had the same purpose. They were all united. They all were together. They all had the same heart and mind to work together for the Lord and to do what the Lord wanted. That's where the power comes from. There is unity. There's so much power when everybody is in one heart, one mind, and one accord. None of the other people dared to stand with the apostles, but everyone was saying wonderful things about them. No one wanted to hang out with Peter and the apostles after they saw what happened to Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira. They're doing all these awesome miracles and signs and wonders, but we'll just keep our distance from them. We'll say wonderful things about them, but we'll keep our distance away from them. But more and more people believed in the Lord. Hallelujah. And many men and women were added to the group of believers. Many more people were added to the church. So God always uses signs and wonders and miracles and the preaching of his word to add people to the church. So the people, listen to this, the people brought those who were sick into the streets and put them on little beds and mats. They were hoping that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he walked by. I mean, you talk about power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they knew that Peter had such an anointing and that the power of the Holy Spirit was working through him so much that all they had to do, Peter all had to do, was walk by them. Doesn't tell us for sure that they all were healed. Right. It says they brought those who were sick or troubled by evil spirits. All of them were healed. So it does say all of them were healed. But it doesn't have to be that they had all of those that he walked by. All those that he ministered to were healed. And I want you to notice, again, that's a fulfillment of exactly what Jesus told them that they would do in what? Mark 15. Those who believe in my name will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All of them were healed. Verses 17 through 20. The high priest and all his friends, a group called the Sadducees, became very jealous. They grabbed the apostles and put them in jail. This is the second time that they put them in jail. Why? Because they're so jealous that they have the power of God, and they're actually doing these awesome, incredible miracles and healings and casting out demons, things that these other priests were supposed to be able to do, but they couldn't do, they weren't doing. So they're jealous of them. They grab the apostles and put them in jail. And this is one of the cool, there's so many awesome testimonies and stories in the book of Acts. They put them in jail. What happens? During the night, an angel of the Lord opens the doors of the jail. The angel led the apostles outside to them, and he said, go and stand in the temple area again and use that power of the Holy Spirit to speak and do what? Tell the people everything about this new life that is only found through Jesus Christ. And then the story just gets even better from there. So when the apostles heard this, what did they do? Oh, well, did they think, should we do this? What does it say? When the apostles heard what the angel said, they did what they were told immediately. They didn't sit around and think, oh, well, should we do this or not, guys? What do you think? No, as soon as they were told to do it, of course, I would hope that if an angel came and spoke to some of us and we knew for sure it was an angel of God, that we would listen to him. Amen? And I know we would. They went into the temple area about sunrise and began to teach the people. The high priest and his friends came together and called a meeting of the high council and the older Jewish leaders. They sent some of the men to the jail to bring the apostles back to them. When the men went to the jail, they couldn't find the apostles there. So they went back to the Jewish leaders and told them this. They said, well, the jail was closed and still locked. The guards were at the door, but guess what? When we opened the doors, the jail was empty. The captain of the temple guards and the leading priests heard this. They were confused and wondered, what does all this mean? What's going on? Then another man came and told them, listen, the men you put in jail, guess where they're at? They're standing in the temple area and they're teaching the people again. So, of course, they go, they send the soldiers back, they arrest them. They have to do it really gently because the people are listening to them. They don't want to start a riot. They bring them back again before the state government, the governors and the Jewish leaders and the kings and the priests. And what do they say to them? We told you never again to teach using that name. They don't even want to say the name of Jesus now. Just don't use that name. Then they say, but look what you've done. I just love this. And this is what we need to do with America. You have filled all of Jerusalem with your teaching. We need to fill all of America with the teaching and the doctrine of Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And now you're trying to blame us for his death. Peter and the other apostles answered, we must obey God, not you. So when it comes to civil disobedience in the matters of the church, and if they tell us never to speak, rather speak the name of Jesus or preach the gospel or speak biblical truth concerning issues, who are we supposed to obey? We obey God. We don't fear them and we don't shut our mouths. We speak the truth in love. Remember, Jesus was full of grace and truth. It's always grace and truth that we share with people. And Peter, this is the third time that he preaches this message to them. And he flat out tells them exactly what happened, doesn't hold anything back. Listen to what he shares with them again, verses 30 through 33. You killed Jesus by nailing him to a cross. But God, the same God of our fathers, had raised Jesus up from death. The same God that our fathers had, he's the one that raised Jesus up from death. Jesus is the one God honored by giving him. Jesus is the one that God has honored by giving him a place at his right side. That's the second time he's told them, because he's speaking to a Jewish audience. So he wants them to know that Jesus is not only Messiah, but he's at the right hand of God. And all Jewish people would have known that means that he is Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is in the highest place of authority that you can be, at the right hand of God. He made him our leader, our Lord, and Savior. God did this, why? To give all you people of Israel the opportunity to repent, to change and turn to God, so that you can have your sins forgiven. That is the message of the church. That is the gospel message. That is the message that Jesus told them to share. Go and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. So every time that you see Peter preach in these four chapters, you'll always see him talk about the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation of Jesus, and repentance and forgiveness of sins, because that specific command is what Jesus told them to preach and share with everybody. And that's why there's so much power and authority in his preaching. And that's why the Holy Spirit, that to me is, I guess I won't say the only message that the Holy Spirit super anoints, but it is the primary message that the Holy Spirit super puts a super anointing on, because that is the message that Jesus told us to preach and said that the Holy Spirit would preach. And listen to what he says. We saw all these things happen, and we can say that they are true. We're witnesses to it, and we're telling you about it. And I love this, and I think this is the part that kind of really gets the priests and the leaders. The Holy Spirit also shows that these things are true. God has given his Holy Spirit to all those who obey him. When the council members heard this, this was the third time that Peter told them exactly what they did, who Jesus is, and how they could have their sins forgiven. And now he's telling them, we're not only telling you that, but this is the Holy Spirit telling you that. When the council members heard this, they became very angry. They began to plan a way to kill the apostles. They're going to just put them in jail before. Now they're to the point they want to kill these guys. They are tired of hearing the truth. They're tired of hearing the message. We know that in verse 34 it says, but one member of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, stood up, and he was a teacher of the law, and all the people respected him. He told the men to make the apostles leave the meeting for a few minutes. So what he does is he basically goes through and he tells them, look, if these guys are just doing their own thing, it'll die out. But if it's a God thing, you only be fighting against them, but you could be actually fighting against God. So what do they decide to do? They decide to let them go. They listen to Gamaliel and they say, okay, we're not going to kill them. We're going to let them go again. Then listen to what happens. Verses 40 through 42 of chapter 5. So they call the apostles back in again. They beat them, and they tell them, again, don't you speak anymore using the name of Jesus. They let them go free. And what do the apostles do? Do they run and cower and go hide and never speak again? Listen to what it says. I love it. They let them go free. The apostles left the council meeting. They were happy. They rejoiced because they were given the honor of suffering dishonor for Jesus. And then what's it say? The apostles did not stop teaching the people. They continued to tell the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, and they did it every single day in the temple area and in people's homes. Hallelujah. That's what we need today. We need the Spirit of God to continue to stir us up to speak boldly for Jesus Christ like never before. And as we speak boldly and pray this, we'll pray the same prayer that they did to close this message, that we will be able to speak boldly. We'll never give in to fear, never listen to their threats, but we'll take it to prayer. We'll ask the Lord always to fill us with boldness and to do, you know, it's kind of, I was thinking about it. It's kind of funny that in this prayer, the apostles ask to do signs and wonders and miracles because the Holy Spirit's already in chapters 3, 4, and 5 has already been doing a ton of signs and wonders and miracles. This is just my feeling. I think they prayed that because they knew that it just stirred those guys up. It stirred those officials up. Lord, that seems to be what really gets them. But anyhow, we're going to pray that same prayer because that's what we need in our nation. We don't need church growth programs. We don't need all that stuff that people have tried to use for years. We need to have the same power to speak the gospel with boldness, the same power to see those signs and wonders and miracles done so that more and more people can come into the kingdom of God. More and more people can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Become part of the family of God. So let's pray that prayer. Father, we thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And Lord, we pray all the threats that come against your people right now, that your people would never shrink back and never fear, never cower, Lord, but we would always be courageous and come to you in prayer and ask you the same that the apostles asked, that you would grant your servants, all your people, Lord, with all boldness that we may speak your word, especially the gospel, but also speak your words of truth concerning any issue that is ungodly in our nation to those who are in authority over us. Father, we pray that as we speak the word and share the gospel, that you would stretch out your hand to heal, that you would do great signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Do it here, especially as you have always done in Word of Victory Church, because we believe and we declare that you have called Word of Victory Church to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church, always in the center of God's perfect will for the glory of King Jesus. Amen. Look, the Lord did this in the beginning of the church age, and I believe that he's going to do it here in the end of the church age. Why? Because he's going to use that same pattern, and he's looking for people like Word of Victory Church that still believe that he wants to use the same exact principles and patterns through preaching the gospel and signs and wonders to add, and keep adding multiplication and increase to the church, to the body of Christ, the church, the whole entire church, his church. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord again. Worship team.